Okay, today is the July 5th conference call for the Courtroom Observers Committee, and if anybody has anything to say, please go right ahead.
You don't have a program set up for us this evening, I take it?
No.
And by any chance, have you heard from Laura?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, we need to find somebody to replace her. I'm, you know, we've waited all this time and none of us have heard anything. And so I'm looking for people who have some knowledge on courtroom observing and you know, on the courts themselves. Somebody that can talk well and has some experience. I would like to bring them in, at least one person in, to relieve Laura and lead this group. We've only got a couple of people here right at the moment. And there'll probably be some more here in a little bit, but we need to get this committee up and running a little more efficiently. And so I believe new top leadership. I'm not saying anything bad about Terry. He's a leader, and I would imagine that he will stay on as the number two, but I need one to replace Laura.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Now, you know, everybody get tired of hearing me say what I have to say. But it is important that we always remember. Courtroom observers are much more important than what most people realize. One person going in as a courtroom observer can have an impact. They can change the course of the trial. And if one person can do it, just imagine what 5, 6, 10 people going in together could do. And when one person can have that kind of an impact, and I talk from experience when I say this, because as a courtroom observer, in a courtroom, on my own, taking notes, I intimidated the prosecutor. And when the defendant came up before the judge, the prosecutor said, "Your Honor, I have a very big concern about this case. We have a court observer has been sitting in the courtroom for 2 days taking notes. And I think it'd be in the best interest of Oregon if we dismiss the charges." And they did. And so by what he said, he told us that he was nervous about me sitting there, but there was nothing he could do about it. And it was a phony case. I mean, they had no one was injured, no injured party. So, you know, one person can do it. And what I would ask everyone would be, when you go in as a courtroom observer, you go in looking as professional as possible. Dress well as you can. I understand that there are people who cannot wear a suit and tie or a nice, you know, dress or something like that, but try not to go in looking sloppy. Be clean, be groomed as well as possible. And carry a clipboard with a pad of paper, legal pad, preferably. Have a pen or pencil. And as soon as you go in, start taking notes. Write down the judge's name, prosecutor's name, any information that you have available. Make a show of writing it down. You know, show that you're attentive to everything. Write that information down on that tablet. I normally hold it up high enough to where they can see that I'm writing. This is what bothers them. They don't like there to be a record of what's happening. And as soon as they see you writing on that pad, they know there's going to be a written record. They won't know what you've said. They just know there'll be a written record. And that's intimidating to them. And write your notes in such a way that you have the facts that you've heard and observed, the facts of what you heard and observed. Because if the defendant intends to go on and fight this case, they will need affidavits from you. And so the affidavit of what you observe and hear from the judge and the prosecutor during that hearing or that trial, the defendant needs that. Now, we have a man in NLA that's designated as the affidavit man, and I know there's people that don't know how to write an affidavit. I'm going to try to have this man come in and talk to the committee, so that, you know, I want people to know how to write affidavits. It's not hard. It's a simple process, but I want people to learn how it's done. And get any questions answered that you might have. And the one thing that we do not do as a courtroom observer, we don't, and we're not going to discuss cases here on the call because we're not legal experts, and we're not gonna pretend to be. We're not gonna get ourselves in trouble for trying to pretend that we're someone we're not. And you won't do it in the court either. You know, when you go in, you don't go up and talk to the deputy, you don't talk to the prosecutor, the judge, unless they speak to you first, and then just short answers. They may ask who you are. Show them your badge. It's hanging around your neck or clipped to your clothing somewhere, and tell them, I'm a courtroom observer from National Liberty Alliance. And just let it go at that. Don't go into any kind of an explanation. The less you say, the better. If they realize you're not going to do a bunch of talking, then that's just more intimidation for them. So, it's actually very easy to be a courtroom observer. And I would suggest that you go to the Courtroom Observer page on the NLA website and look up the information that's available on that site. A lot of good information there.
What's your reading?
Do I hear somebody?
I think somebody just had a mic open. That
sounds
like it.
Now, last week we talked about the checkoff list. Did anybody go in and check that out this week? I hope so. If not, please do so. This is something that you can download, put it on your clipboard, and it's something to watch for. It's a list of things that you can listen for the judge to say or the prosecutor and make notes of it if they do. It's just kind of a little cheat sheet so you don't have to remember everything. Now, I really don't have anything to go over, but if anybody has any questions, we'll certainly try to answer them. Any comments, questions, thoughts? I want to thank everybody for coming in, and this call will get...
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Is it okay if I talk?
What would you like to talk about?
Well, as I said, with all the shutdowns that's going on, with the court observing, the court observers, is it okay if I talk, or you don't want me to say anything?
Well, you're talking
like
about...
Right now, all the states are having a huge supposed... They have a government shutdown, like in Connecticut. They didn't sign the contract. There's going to be huge layoffs. And also with all these illegal foreclosures that's been going on, New Jersey, I believe Maine... And it's really ironic, with every state that has lotto tolls and this and that, where is that money going to? And, like, I know in Connecticut they have it in the general fund, you know. So another thing, what's been going on, people need to ask their congressmen, their senators, their state reps, their local government, where is the lotto money, where is the tolls, you know, because it's just like, you know, with any... When they spend billions and trillions of dollars a year, where is that money going to? In the general fund? You know, and, you know, it's like opening up people's eyes because all the dots are beginning to connect. You know, when we went to the court last week, the judge asked the attorneys, is this a MERS case, M-E-R-S. And they said, one said no. He took it and went into foreclosure. The other one said yes, he doesn't want to handle the MERS case. So people, that when we go to the courts, be aware of that also. On the MERS, M-E-R-S, that's the illegal scan, on the paperwork, there is no date when you change people's mortgages. You know, so that's another thing we picked up on. Is that okay to talk on? You know,
well, that's, you know, you're right about that. However, that's kind of treading on the gray area a little bit. I mean, that's
okay.
Not something that the courtroom observers are going to need to know. I mean, it's good to know in case they come up with a case, but
I just said the judge asked the attorney, was this a MERS case? One of the attorneys on one of the particular cases said, no, it's not. The other one said, yes, it was. So the judge did not want to deal with any of the cases that has MERS, M-E-R-S. He didn't want to deal with it.
I think they all are MERS cases when it comes
to foreclosure.
Yeah, of
course. Right, and when you go and sit there, because when I picked mine up and I said, well, wait a second, and I asked for the paperwork, and I noticed on my paper there is no date. And anytime you sign a deed or any legal document, you got to write the name and the date. There is no date. They have a signature, like it was scanned. So those are other things to look out for.
Well, that's very true. Now, it is something that, you know, if they talk about is it a MERS case or is it not a MERS case, that's something that a courtroom observer can make a note of. Because, you know, usually somebody's lying there if they say it's not a MERS case.
Well, to me, it seemed like as I didn't know the people personally. You know, as I said, I try to tell the people, I said, let's start going because there's so many different things we're going to be hearing. And another thing, I think I might have suggested that we need to have a vocabulary on the terminologies so we can start understanding what the attorneys and the judges are saying, because a lot of the languages, as they said, through listening to National Liberty Alliance on some of the cases that we hear, we're starting to get familiar with some of the terminology and what they're doing, and with, you know, because it almost sounds like it's foreign, you know. But when you're around enough and you start listening to different cases, you know, it helps us to...
refresh my memory, Crystal. You don't use a computer, do you? Or you don't have one?
No, I do not. No, right. No, I do not have a computer.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, my God, pension just got stolen, so... It just threw me a beckon.
Perhaps if I was to team you up with somebody that does have a computer to make up a list of those terms, would you be willing to work with somebody on that?
Sure.
Because that could be helpful.
Yeah, I kind of think so, you know.
And I'd be willing to look it over. And is there anybody on the call right now that would be willing to work with Crystal on something like that?
What does she want to do?
She wants to put together some you know, a list of different terms that are used in the courthouse.
Like the Orwellian doublespeak?
Well, when you're in a courthouse and the judge and the prosecutors and attorneys are talking, you know you're in doublespeak. I mean, if you don't understand the terms, you probably do not understand what they said or what they meant by what they said. So it could be helpful to have a list of different terms that they use so that you're a little more familiar with it.
I'll help Crystal with it if she needs it.
Okay. Well, that would be good, yeah. And what was it? There was one other thing I was going to say. There was one other thing. Oh, boy. Let's see. And also going into the different courts, you know, because we have like three different courts here. We got a superior, federal, and what is the other court called? What is the other court? They're on three different streets. I don't remember the other court's name, but...
Well, they're all using the same terms.
Right, exactly.
So it really doesn't matter what court it's. They're all using the same, so...
Right, and also, like, the clerk... Oh, I did tell you when I went to the court... And they said that the chief clerk, he retired. He did not. I saw him in there, and he was shocked when he saw me. You know, but he saw me through the window, and I saw him at the same time, and he just, like, dashed out. You know. But I think they're all getting a little nervous in the courtrooms, though.
Well, they're definitely going to be nervous, when people show up looking nice, wearing the badges and the clipboard and pen or pencil to write with, and they look, they're looking professional, and they're obviously going to record things, and they get nervous.
Yeah.
And if they talk to you, and you know the terms, they're going to be even more nervous. So, in that way, that could work as a training tool for the courtroom observers.
Also, I forgot to mention that, what was that, Bundy's case?
Yes.
The one out in Arizona, did you see that on TV?
Well, I've been following it. Keeping updated on it, yes.
And they said, what, an FBI agent or somebody got arrested?
Well, there's an FBI agent that was in charge, and he was at the Bundy Ranch as well as out in Oregon at the standoff there. And he's been investigated and found to be... Well, many things other than a liar, but he's false reports and threatening people, and just the list just goes on and on.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that ironically, because I saw it on our news here, I think it was on CNN, and it was on one of the ABC stations or whatever. And it was like on world news, I guess, like at 3:30 in the morning.
Daniel Love is his name.
Okay. And the wife, she made the comments. She said, and there was no due process and no proof of claim. And I said, oh, my God. And when she said that, because I wasn't really paying attention to it, but when she said those two words, and then all of a sudden they were talking about Arizona, and I said, wait a minute, that was a national, you know. But it's just like certain words, and I said, you know, who would have said anything like that? You know what I'm saying? When she said, no due process, no proof of claim, that's what we've all been learning.
Should not even be a court case going on, but it's the second trial for Nevada starts on the 10th of this month.
Right, but I'm saying what caught my ear about this whole case was when they repeated what the wife had said to them.
That's a case if we have any courtroom observers there, they're gonna get an education on fraud and corruption.
Wow. But I said, the point I was trying to make is the terminology, and it was an ear opener of why I keyed in on it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have paid no attention to the case. But when I said, it was the language that we've been using and learning from NLA.
Well, you'll find that there's no due process in any of the trials that are going on.
Right, but and there's that TV station that comes on Saturday on PBS
PBS Eastern. Public Broadcasting?
Yes, and I think it's on like 6 or 7 o'clock in our area, and it's a class from Rutgers University, and the name of the class is No Due Process. And they go over the legal. So that's something else that might be helpful, too.
Well, that's surprising coming from PBS, but every now and then they surprise me.
Oh, okay, well. But I said, basically, that's, you know.
Well, thank you, Crystal, and work with Terry and make up that list and, you know, make it up. Go over it, do whatever to make sure that it's as complete as you can make it, and let's take a look at it.
Okay.
Is there any other comments or any other questions?
Just a comment, Robert. When they get done with that list and we get it all approved, I'll put it on the website. That would be very useful for the people going into court.
That would be great. That would be great.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you've...
You know, and if anybody has any words or whatever to add to it, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we'll go over it, and we'll read it here on the call, and we'll talk about it.
All righty.
All right?
All righty. And then yeah, because that was very informative last week.
Yeah.
About the class that they don't have a printout sheet that we can get from last week's call. I think, who was it, Captain John? He gave a lot of excellent information.
Good.
Yeah, the audio is uploaded. If you want to listen to the audio again, pick out things.
Okay, I'll get somebody to do that. That was on what call? That was on Thursday night's call?
Right.
Okay, and the name of that call is?
Committee of Safety.
The courtroom observers. Okay, all right.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
Too many calls.
All right. Yeah, that was, oh my God, yeah. Now, that was a class in itself.
Yeah, well, we would like to have things every week to discuss and to, you know, to make the needed changes to help everybody be more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can, even though there's not a lot to teach to be a courtroom observer, there are things that we can discuss to help everyone be more efficient at the job of courtroom observer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to get these things going because the camps just started today. So, and I have to go out of town for our convention this weekend.
We'll get together. Get together with Terry and set you guys yourselves up for when you want to do that.
Okay. Probably on Monday, Jerry?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because because I'm going to be going for our convention up in Newburgh this weekend. So I'm, leaving out. But Monday I'll be back because I'm going to do the volunteer and stuff and try to get these things going at these camps. With the national and, but I'll be in touch with you. We will be in touch with each other. Okay?
Good deal. I'll be looking forward to seeing what you come up with.
Okay, will do.
Have you got anything that you want to put out, Jan?
Not really right now.
Okay. I don't have anything else, and if nobody's got any questions or comments or anything,
somebody's speaking. Go.
Hello?
Hello? One piece of info?
Go ahead.
Okay, this is Terry in Colorado, and I ran across something that says, not Waco, it's from the Front Range Report. Has anybody else seen that? It mentions that Special Agent W. Joseph Astorita was arraigned in federal court in Portland this week for his role in the shooting death of a leader in last year's Mount Huron National Wildlife Refuge occupation.
That's the man that was indicted for at the roadblock. Yeah, that's a
lying.
You're
lying about it.
I knew that he had been indicted. I'm hoping there's many more.
Yeah, it said that there's some others that the investigation is ongoing, but it's on frontrangereport.com or freerangereport.com.
Free range. Yeah, that's
yesterday, the 3rd.
The NLA was very much involved in providing the information on that roadblock. Probably most of you remember us talking about it, but we had those videos analyzed by experts, and it definitely. Those videos are very, very incriminating. And so I'm hoping that they're used. And I believe that every officer that was at that roadblock should be indicted. I mean, the Oregon State Police were lied to by the FBI, but still they were there. They were shooting. They didn't stop it, so they're just as guilty as any of the FBI agents, and I hope that they're all indicted.
Me too.
Anything more?
Not for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, Terry, if there's nothing more, then there's no use keeping everybody from what they're doing.
I agree. So that concludes the Courtroom Observers Committee call for July 5th, 2017.